Hello and welcome. Welcome back to the Football Chat Room. It's been what? I think it's been at least 2 weeks since we recorded last. Welcome back. So yeah, Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy Christmas. Merry New Year. Whatever works for you. Yeah. But Merry Christmas though. So we usually have a Boxing Day special episode.
Happy New Year, everyone. Yeah, Happy New Year, everyone. Merry Christmas. In Arias, glad to be back.
In very serious Arias, we are so late. We're at least 3 weeks late from Christmas.
I'm telling you, it's hold network providers, hold them, and then hold Chinedu.
Please, though, I did not do anything. It's not my fault that my wonderful network provider does not have network in my village. And I went to the village. Anyway, so we're glad to be back. Just, you know that it's TFC culture to do a Boxing Day special episode. That did not happen last year because of network. And you know this year, yeah, every single network was bad because usually, yeah, when I go to the village December to record our episode, Boxing Day special episode, I use MTN hotspots. But this year, it was not even working itself.
Anyway, it's crazy.
Yeah. So, today we will talk about the African Cup of Nations. United played the game yesterday. I think United should have won that game at least 6-0. But yeah, we cannot finish to save our lives. So that game ended 2-0. There is just that to talk about. There's the new ownership of Manchester United. Generally, FA Cup roundup. What's it called now? Fixtures for the next round have come out. Teams have been knocked out. So we're going to talk about all of that stuff. We'll talk about Nigeria heading to the AFCON. Nigeria played yesterday and lost to Guinea. There is a very serious injury problem in the Nigerian squad. We'll talk about all of that. So, Precious, where do we start from?
Let's do a recap of, you know, everything Premier League, then close up with the AFCON.
Okay, for the Premier League. You know, we've missed so much that I don't even know where to start from. Guy.
We can freestyle the whole thing.
Okay.
We can freestyle the whole thing. Yeah. For example, Arsenal, I think they've not won in like 3 games or like 4 games.
Yeah, I think they won one game. They won Brighton, but that was a while ago.
They've not won in like 3 games.
Oh, I think they did not win Liverpool in the Premier League. I think it was 1-1.
Was it a draw?
Yeah, it was a
draw. Yeah, 1-1.
Yeah, it was a draw. Then they lost to West Ham. And they lost to... What was the last thing they lost to?
Fulham. They lost to Fulham.
They lost to...
Then lost to Liverpool in the cup.
Lost 2-0 to West Ham. Drew with Liverpool. Lost 2-0 to Liverpool in the cup. So, Arsenal, last time I checked, Arsenal have fought in the Premier League. You know, there was a time, yeah. Sorry, let me just clear my voice. There was a time where Arsenal fans were like, City are out of league contention. And I think on that last episode, we said that, yeah, while it may be hard for City to win the league again, it's very likely for that to happen because you just cannot write Manchester City off. And Arsenal have. I want to tell Arsenal fans and drive it into their heads that, see, you cannot keep saying you are underdogs. Last season, they were the only fan base that said that they did not bustle. You tell them, Arsenal were top of the league for over 280 days. And then you tell them you bustled the league and they say, no, our squad is young. And now this season, after being first for that amount of time, and spending £65 million on a player who has a position.
Yeah, and they also bought Declan Rice.
Yeah, for £105 million. And by the way, Arsenal needed, I don't know how they don't see this, but Arsenal needed a striker. And Arteta spent that money on Havertz. So general, Arsenal spent 170 million. West Ham got 100 million for Rice, and West Ham bought, I think they bought players with that money. They bought Mohamed Kudus. They bought James Watt.
It's an Alvarez. Ward-Prowse.
Alvarez. Declan Rice money. So there's some value in the market if that's not wanted. So anyway, they got their man. So, and by the way, I think Rice is a very good player. Yeah, but you cannot do what you did last season and spend 170 million. Whatever the money that you chose to spend on, it's his business. They didn't make any other signings apart from those two. Yeah, they signed.
They bought Julian Timber. Yeah,
they bought Julian Timber. And so Julian Timber cost about 35 million. So that's 205. That's 210 million pounds. And you spend that money and you now say, we're still trying to build. Arteta has been at the club. This is his fifth season. He has had four full seasons and a half season. Yeah, this will be his first full season and he has had half a season. And so you cannot keep saying we are underdogs, we are underdogs, we are underdogs. Just to be clear, Arsenal Football Club are not underdogs this season. There is an expectation to win the league. It's like we were so... I remember the season where, I think it was Klopp's fourth season where he won the UCL. And before that season, he had gone trophyless. And then people kept on saying, look, if Klopp was not winning anything this season, he should be sacked. That's the standard manager should be held onto or up to at top club, except Arsenal are not a top club. Yeah. But that's by the way. So there's us now to talk about Manchester United, lovely club.
We've ended up 8th in the league after the holidays. 8th.
And we still have a goal difference halfway through the season.
Whew, man. I can't even talk about Man United. Like, it's crazy. Like, you just keep analyzing. And then at some point, the more you analyze, the more you start to forgive. Right? Because it's crazy how every other person is complaining, right? But I think Man United have had the worst impact. I think aside from Tottenham, when it comes to injuries, right, it messed everything up.
You know, yeah, right? I was looking at the start against West Ham, and then it was West Ham that Willie Kambwala made his first his debut basically. Debut, start, and then they said Kambwala and Evans is the 10th centre back pairing we've used this season.
It's a lot of injuries, bro. Like, and at some point, like, you see some decisions that Ten Hag made, and then, like, what's the option? It's not like people, United fans act like there is Prime Fabregas on the bench, right? If you're not playing McTominay, it's now going to be Hannibal Mejbri for many points this season, you get. And regardless of how talented he is, like, he's not Premier League proven. Right, and McTominay is a senior player in the squad. You understand? You cannot say, you know, we have a big game coming up and we don't have players that are on the same. You've played FM, right? You know how dressing rooms have hierarchies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you cannot have a player that is on a higher hierarchy and have a big game coming up and then you play somebody from the youth. It always backfires in FM, right? And that's how it is in real life. You have to play the senior players, you understand? And at some point, you start, like, understanding maybe his hands were tied. Maybe he would have given them other instructions, right? But when you watch these players, you will know that they are not quality players. And definitely, they are not going to go to the top. You understand? There was something that Mourinho was talking about. He was talking about the players that leave Man United. You understand? They don't leave Man United to go on and have amazing careers. You understand? You see where they go to from Man United. And even if they play, because if McTominay was at West Ham now, he would not start. Right? Who would he start over? Right? So it's not about only just when they play. It's if they play and where they play, right? So it's crazy like that. If I have regrets, like, for Man United, it's selling James Garner. Man United took that deal when they shouldn't have.
And
right? Because
I think we complained here about that deal.
Yeah, a lot. I talked about it. I complained about it. Now, James Garner is easily a 50 million Premier League player after a season because he always plays. Like, he has shown that he can play in the Premier League. This is somebody that is coming from our youth, right? One more season with the Premier League loan, right? And you're getting 50 million for him, right? But it was a very easy deal to do. And that's what Man United beat, right? And in my opinion, right, Ghana with one full season out on loan is better than McTominay, right? There are so many things, basic things about playing in a pivot that I think he's able to do. And he has shown it at Everton because Everton has, they've had very good results this season. Mm-hmm. And Ghana always plays, right? So it's very interesting, right? When you come to the defense and the midfield, right, the people that we've had to play this season are not the people that played last season. They were not the good players that we had that got us into the top four last season, right? And even the new signings that were made in midfield, they are not available. Amrabat has been injured. Like, it's either he's injured or something. Like, he came in with a back problem. Now, when he was nearing fitness, right, he now got injured again. And it's crazy. Do you understand? Like, like something, if we have a department that we need to start, we need to just bring the whole medical team, right? Because it's not just that these players got injured. And it's not like we're rushing them to come back. Do you understand? Because somebody like Mount was back in training a few weeks. Like, I think it's been up to more than a month now, right? And he's still not been in the squad, right? So what is going on? So it's not like these players were even, most of them were even rushed back. Maybe that's what got them injured again, right? They've had time off. And whenever they come, it's as if they can't seem to come back. Do you know how many months ago Casemiro was injured? Like, what is going on? And which other time in his career did you hear that Casemiro was out for that long?
Casemiro, even Amrabat does not really get injured, by the way.
Exactly. He played almost every game for Fiorentina last season. Right? And here he is on loan at Man United. And he's injured. You understand? Like, it's injuries everywhere. And then people say, oh, don't play Anthony, play Pelestri. Is Pelestri a Premier League proven winger? You understand?
He's not. Oh, my God.
He's not. Like, I feel like there is potential there, right? Because he already plays for the national team, right? There's potential there. But it's not like the potential that you have on the bench is Gareth Bale, you get. Or, do you understand? Like, the person that you're bringing in, like, especially at the expense of a player that you invested so much on, right? It doesn't make sense. If you were the manager of Man United, you will not do it. You understand? We talk like we are going to do it, like if we're the manager. You will not do it.
But anyway, talking on Anthony, yeah, yesterday we saw Garnacho use his left a lot more than Anthony has done in a very long while. But that's by the
you
way.
Mean his right?
His left.
His right foot.
His shot, the shot that hit the post was with his left foot.
Okay. He did that too, right?
Yeah.
I feel like Garnacho is, like I've always said, that he has a higher ceiling than most of the people that we have. And that shows you the quality of our recruitment. Understand? You don't see that at Man City, at teams that win the league. You don't see Man City buying a player, right, for a huge amount. And then you see somebody from the youth being able to do better than them. It almost never happens at City. But now we have Kobbie Mainoo, an 18-year-old. You understand? It shows you how bad the players that we have at Man United are. For an 18-year-old to come in and look way better. Do you understand what it means? It means that this is the bottom of the barrel. You understand? And how did we end up with the bottom of the barrel? You get? When we watch Willy Kwambala, right, play, it was one of the best performances that we've seen. Mm. At least before that period, you understand? Because Varane was out for a while, right?
I think Maguire was having really good games. But like for you to be able to watch a young player come into a Premier League game at his debut, concede what he conceded, and still think he had a better game than most of our centre backs have been having, like it tells you that, like what this man is working with is not a lot. You understand? And to think that most of these players were signed at the expense of a majority of players that are doing well now. When you hear about the Julian Alvarez's of this world that could have been at Man United, right? You hear about, I think at some point they even talked about Mane before he came to before he came to the Premier League, being scouted. Like there are so many young players that I think was it Vlahovic before he made that move? Haaland, for example, that Man United rejected. Man United. it's mad. Like you start to see that like anybody that comes to United, like at least under the old system that we used to have, is already set up.
Now let's talk about the new system. We've talked about the new system.
Yeah.
But yesterday, at Old Trafford, not Old Trafford, at Wigan Stadium, the sporting director of Ineos, Sadiq Brailsford, was in attendance in that match. David Gill was in attendance, and the man who has been shouted to be the new CEO of Manchester United, Jean-Claude Blanc, was also in attendance in that game. Blanc has been CEO of Juventus and PSG and has done really well. Do you think that that's a bright future for the club? Majorly, I think our issues stem on recruitment. Majorly recruitment. Like, a lot of the problems we have at the club will be solved if our recruitment got better. And I also think that our old owners did not focus a lot on football, and that should. Quite honestly, I don't think John Motto is competent enough.
The thing is, at Man United, it's not just about having, you know, good people in charge, right? Like people that know how to do their job. Your rivals are doing the same thing. Do you understand? Like, it's not like your rivals are like their sporting director is a chicken, right? That is kwa in his office. He is doing the same job. The thing that we are still trying to do, they have a system that has been running for the past 5 years, right? Doing the same thing. You understand? So don't expect that because you have now have a sporting director. You know what? Man United is going to be the best team.
No, I don't expect in the world. It's how a process starts. I think.
Yeah, it's how a process starts. But everybody else is also on that journey.
Yeah, and I've said this before that United fans should drop the. We're a big club. Yeah, based on commerciality. And I think United at the most. I think someone was telling that he went to Old Trafford just before the season started, and you could see that the club generated a lot of money just for those stores. I've forgotten how much he paid, but it was quite some money. Yeah, he paid, and he paid that money, and he was on a waiting list for a very long time before he got his chance. So that alone, there's shirt sales, there's ticket sales, there's sponsorship. So yeah, based on commercial value, United are a big club. But on the footballing side, I think United fans should accept. And that's why it's very funny when I see fans shouting Ten Hag out. Because if you sack Ten Hag, and I've said this before, but not on this podcast, if you sack Ten Hag, I can assure you that the next manager you employ will come back to this place Ten Hag isn't. I can assure you with so much confidence. So fans should accept that, see, we are no more a club. And let us start from
here.
Do you understand?
I feel like when we make decisions, we have to look at the past, right? The past informs you of the future.
Mm-hmm.
We've had all the kinds of managers. We've had the man manager. We've had the disciplinarian. We've had the tactician. We've had the pessimist kind, right? We've had all kinds of managers at United, right? And it does not translate into, like, winning things, right? Like, there has to be a system. I believe that Man United is still, like, we're far off from where we need to be, right? And I feel like the right step, actually, is to fix the footballing aspect of things, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's the right step. But it shouldn't make my United fans to think that, you know what, since we now have a sporting director, we are going to challenge for the title next season, right? Because the people that you're challenging for the title have had sporting directors for years.
And they've had right? one so, sporting director working with one manager for years.
Exactly. So who knows their project, right? And they've kind of built a unit out of it. Now, why I was skeptical about this whole Ineos thing is that Ineos do not have enough funds for Man United to handle the United problem. Like, I do not think that they have enough funds, because we saw reports of, you know what, the training facility is substandard, right? So you're going to buy those gems, right? And then come and put them in substandard training facilities. You understand? Like, you need a lot of money to revamp Man United, and you cannot do it with your hands tied behind your back, right? Because if you're in charge of the football aspect of things, where does the money from the football aspect of things come out from? Is it not from the financial side of things? Do you understand? So you want to make football decisions. Is it not based on what's been made available to you that you will make decisions on? Right? Like, so I think that we will have some kind of stability, but to get to the very top, you understand? We need to do way better. We need to do way better. For example, we sell our young players, the talents that come out of our academy, way cheap, right? Oh, guess what? Tennemengi that we sold for undisclosed fee, right, is now one of the best center backs in the Premier League. Wow!
It was 1 million pounds.
Oh, undisclosed fee. Are you sure it was even? It was not up to 1 million, no. It wasn't. He's now one of the best center backs in the league. Who would have thought? Only everybody. James Garner, one of the best midfielders in the league now. Who would have thought? Right? And guess what we sold these players for? We just sold Zidane Iqbal. We might soon be selling maybe Hannibal Mejbe, even. And they want to sell Pelestri. When we have players, senior players, that actually earn a good... Okay, when we're talking about senior players to sell, the information going around is Casemiro and Varane. The ones that are actually quality. When you're supposed to be beating the ones that do not have the quality that you need, right? You're keeping them and selling the ones that are desirable. You get, because you know that if you put Casemiro on the market, people are actually going to want him, right? If you put Varane on the market, people are actually going to want him. Now, which clubs want Varane? The Bayern Munich of this world. Top clubs, right? Very easy for you to sell. But now, the people that actually need selling, the ones that are underperforming, right? And the ones that are not up to the standard that you expect at the club. Example, McTominay, right? They are the more difficult ones to sell. So, you know what? We don't want to go there. And then there's this whole talk about the British passport. I could care less, because Man United is a global brand, right? I don't care. I don't care so much. Once they have their quota of homegrown talent, they might as well just go and, you know, okay, James Garner, is he not English? Why was he sold? Right? And it's crazy. Like, there's a lot of work to be done, and it needs money to be done. It's not a 200 million investment, right? It's new training facilities, a whole revamp of the training facilities that are being used, the medical facilities, a total overhaul. You get, because obviously these players are not recovering well. We had an injured Pogba at his prime throughout. He was always injured, right? And we still have those medical problems to today. It's obvious that it's not just the staff, right? It means that probably they don't even have what to work with. You understand? It's crazy that somebody gets injured and they prefer to go to their own personal recovery. Who did it in Man United? Somebody did it in Man United. Pogba. Where he got injured. Huh?
It was Pogba. Pogba.
Yeah, because it's not good enough. It's obviously not good enough. And it needs money to be made good enough. So we all act like these players are not going to get injured again. You know, when they come back, everything is going to be fine. You use the rickety medical facilities that we have to keep world-class players fit, right? It's a joke, anyway, man. It's just for want of time. A big joke. But just for you know time. What? It's a little bit of positivity. But we should manage our expectations. That's where I'm coming from.
Probably, yeah, the time you see us challenging, we'll probably win. We'll probably win the Carabao Cup here and there. If we get lucky, every cup. But the next time we challenge for the big, it has to be said. It's going, from my opinion, it's going to be in at least 4 years.
Yeah, it's a whole journey. Unless we have like, you know, we have a huge offset. You understand? But what Man City have in place kind of insulates them from surprises.
Anyway, AFCON begins on the 13th of January and ends on the 11th of February. Let me just run through the Nigerian squad. We have three goalkeepers in that squad. There's Francis Uzoho, there's Stanley Wabili, and there is Olorunke Ojo. Okoye Maduka does not make the squad. I really do not know why. In defense, there's William Trust Ekong. There's Kenneth Omeruo. What happened to Ekong's partner again? Balogun. Is he here? He's not here.
Yeah, that's Leon Balogun.
Yeah. There's William Trust Ekong. There's Omeruo. There's Chidozie Awaziem. There's Ola Aino. There's Semi Ajayi. And there's Zaidu Sanusi. And of course, there's Calvin Bassey. There's also Bright Osayi Samuel. There's Bruno Yemachi. In midfield, our midfield is very thin, by the way. They are just four midfielders in that squad. Joe Aribo, Frank Onyeka, Rafael Onyedika, and Al-Hassan Yusuf. Forwards, we have Ahmed Musa Moses, Simon Kelechi Iheanacho, Samuel Chukwueze, Victor Osimhen, Ademola Lookman, Umar Sadiq, Victor Boniface has withdrawn from the squad due to injury. Taiwo Awoniyi was not called up at all because he's also injured. So, Precious, just do you think, just before we go to Nigeria's fixtures, and then we'll talk about fixtures in general and the groups, who do you think will replace Boniface?
Yeah, I'm thinking Terem Murphy, because we need an actual striker, that can play in the middle, right, in a one-strike system. Well, it depends on the manager, Sha, but I'm thinking Terem Murphy. Yeah, I've watched him play. He plays for Nice, right? And I've watched him play a few games, and he's not bad at all. He's not bad. He can do a job. So
I think Terem
Murphy, I think we're talking, and we're kind of surprised that he didn't make the list earlier.
Yeah, we're talking is that we said, first of all, he should have made the list in the first time. I think, all respect, I think I don't know what to put him on the ball. Ahmed Musa has been a servant to the national team, but it's time to go, man.
It's really time to go. Like, it's time Musa to go. Musa
does not have any business being called over Terem Murphy.
It's crazy.
Anyway, so Nigeria's AFCON starts on the 14th of January in a fixture against Equatorial Guinea. On the 18th of January, we have a fixture against Ivory Coast. And on the 22nd, we have a fixture against Guinea-Bissau. That's our group stage. we lost to Guinea-Bissau, by the way, 2-0 yesterday. But it's fine. Let's see. Let's see. So, that's nice. Right. We're just going to talk about the AFCON groups. Groups and then when the fixtures start. So you know that AFCON starts on the 13th of January. Kickoff starts. Ivory Coast take on Guinea-Bissau on the 13th of January. That's how our fixture starts. And it's Nigeria versus Equatorial Guinea on the 14th of January. Egypt versus Mozambique same day. Ghana versus Cape Verde same day. Senegal versus Gambia 15th of January, and for the 15th, we have Cameroon, Guinea, Algeria versus Angola, Burkina Faso versus Mauritania, Tunisia versus Namibia. That's now this is 16. Burkina Faso, Mauritania is 16. Then Tunisia, Namibia 16. Mali, South Africa, also 16. On the 17th, we have Morocco versus Tanzania, DR Congo versus Zambia, and that rounds up the match day one fixtures of the group stage. Match day two of the group stage starts on the 18th of January. Equatorial Guinea takes on Guinea-Bissau, and Ivory Coast take on Nigeria. That is on the 18th as well. Egypt, 19th, Cape Verde take on Mozambique, Senegal take on Cameroon, and Guinea take on Gambia. Now, this Guinea is Guinea-Bissau. On the 20th, Algeria take on Burkina Faso, Mauritania take on Angola, Tunisia take on Mali, Morocco take on the DR Congo on the 21st, Zambia take on Tanzania, South Africa take for match day 3 of the group stage. Guinea-Bissau takes on Nigeria on the 22nd of January. Equatorial Guinea takes on Ivory Coast on the same 22nd. On 22nd as well, Mozambique take on Ghana and Cape Verde take on Egypt. On 23rd of January, Gambia take on Cameroon. Guinea takes on Senegal. Mauritania takes on Algeria. And Angola take on Burkina Faso. And like on 24th of January, Namibia take on Mali. South Africa take on Tunisia. Zambia take on Morocco. Tanzania take on DR Congo. Fixtures for the round of 16 begin on the 27th of January, and the clubs that qualify have not been decided. So, Precious, just for our group has Ivory Coast, Nigeria, Guinea-Bissau, and Equatorial Guinea. Who do you think qualifies from that group?
Oh my God. I think Ivory Coast will qualify for sure. I think they have a. They have a very good squad. Nigeria, on the other hand, I can't shout. We have a very good squad too, like Ivory Coast, but we don't have results to back it up. Like, and
are you confident in your country?
I'm not confident, though, but I'm too biased to say otherwise. I go with Ivory Coast and Nigeria.
Okay. I think...
yeah,
same here. So let's... Nigeria have Ivory Coast, Equatorial Guinea, Guinea-Bissau, and of course Nigeria. In Group B, there's Cape Verde,
there's Egypt, there's Ghana, and there's Mozambique.
In Group C, there's Cameroon, Gambia, Guinea,
and Senegal. In Group D, there is Algeria, Angola, Burkina Faso, and Mauritania. In Group E, there is Mali, South Africa, and Tunisia. Okay, I think Algeria definitely qualify from Group D.
Yeah,
F,
definitely.
There's Congo, there's Morocco, West African team. There's Tanzania, and there is
Zambia. Okay, so I think that's all we have to record today. Precious, don't add anything.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I'm good.
All right. So thank you for listening. This episode will be published immediately, so you should see this episode as soon as possible. Thank you for listening and have a good day.
Yeah. Thank you very much.